This morning, we're going to have our last sermon in this series. I hope and pray they've been an encouragement to you. And really, this sermon this morning is just a challenge. It's what it's going to be. We're going to look at a portion of Scripture, and I believe we see a challenge within the portion or within that passage. And I hope to pray to challenge you this morning to be a personal witness, to look for opportunities to take the gospel out and to trust in God's power. You know, before Jesus ascended into heaven, and by the way, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 4 this morning, Matthew 4. But before Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave an explicit order to his church, to those believers and those followers, and that was to take the gospel to the world. You know, Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is where we read the detailed direction there. And actually, let me just turn over there and read that to you as we get started. I'm just going to read Acts 1 verse 8, but we're going to be in Matthew chapter 4. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." You know, the Lord Jesus Christ gave that explicit direction to take the gospel out. And when he said the uttermost part of the earth, he left nobody out. No area, no region, no city, no village, no nationality. We're to take the gospel out to the entire world. And he promised that the Spirit would empower them for this task. He told the followers that they were to wait for the Spirit. We know Acts chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit arrived, and the Holy Spirit not only dwells within believers, but also gives them the power to do God's work. But this morning, what I want us to notice is the preparation that these men had to do God's work. Now, of course, Jesus Christ had a 3-year ministry, so there was a lot of preparation. But we're going to see this morning that I think that the plan that God has put in place to reach the world really is simple. It's a simple plan. It's a straightforward plan. And really, it's effective today if we just follow it. So to see God's plan to take the gospel out to the world, we must look at the Scriptures and basically follow the plan that is set in place. I had a friend who I went to school with, and he took a job at a nice company, and he was telling me once that when he was new there, he was excited, and he saw how they could make changes within their company. Now, they didn't ask him, but he saw these changes that were necessary, and he said he was gung-ho, wrote down all these plans and handed them in, and he said only to hear, "Oh, that's nice," and to see the paper set aside, and as far as he knows, or as far as I know, none of those plans have ever been changed. You know, I imagine that company had a plan in place. They knew exactly what they wanted to do. They knew where they were going to go. And that's not to say that plans can't change. But when we're talking about God's plans, those don't change. And if God has put a plan in place, I think we should follow that plan and be faithful to what God has given. So this morning, the title of the message is The Importance of God's Plan. We've seen the importance of people, the importance of prayer as we do the work, but also this morning we're going to see the importance of God's plan. You know, I don't think we need new plans or new methods. I think we need men and women willing to let God work through them. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse 18. It says there, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father, and they followed him." We're going to have a word of prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, for the blessings you've given to us. As we look at this portion of Scripture and we see the challenge within, I pray that you'll open up our hearts to your word. Help us to not only see your word this morning, but also be attentive to it and be willing to apply it when necessary. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in this passage, I'm going to give you four considerations here concerning the work that God has called us to do, the importance of God's plan. And that's what I want you to notice this morning. First, these men were called while they were working. Called while they were working. Now, how many of you enjoy fishing? I enjoy it. I'm not any good at it, but I enjoy getting out there. These men weren't necessarily on vacation. They didn't have a pole and a hook and, you know, a chair, and they weren't relaxing. This was work for them. This was how they made a living. This was how they not only supplied food for themselves, but also for their family. It was hard work, by the way, and I'm going to give you just a little description of some of the work that they did, and some of you may be aware of this, but there were two basic ways for them to catch fish. It wasn't a pole and a hook, by the way, because they were trying to catch a lot of fish. They had what was the casting net. This was about 15 feet in circumference, and it had weights on there. It was basically made for shallow waters. It had the weights on there, and they would cast this out there. It had lead sinkers is what it had around the edges, and it had a line attached. So when they would cast this out there, they could take that line, they could pull in that net once they had it out there, and they try to get a good catch of fish. And from my understanding, it could be done by one individual, but it was more effective if they had a couple working together. Secondly, they had what they would call a drag net or a draw net. This was, of course, a larger net that they would take out to the deeper waters, and sometimes it would go down 300 feet. It was about 8 feet wide. It was large, and they could pull this up, and they would drop this over the side, and then, you know, of course, drag it and pull up the fish that they would get in it. That was just basically the two ways that they would catch fish. Now, I know it's not very detailed, but that just gives you a general idea. This was hard work. They would stay out there for hours on end. Sometimes they'd go overnight. And they'd go out there and they would do this work. You know, not only was it hard, but there was many dangers involved. Of course, the water, and then storms that could come up at any time, especially if they're on the Sea of Galilee. We know the Sea of Galilee was very turbulent, not necessarily from thunderstorms, but from wind storms. The winds would come down from the hills, and they'd come out of nowhere. And the waves would just get choppy, and it was a dangerous situation. This was hard work. And these men, I think, that were successful at it, obviously Peter and Andrew and James and John, men that were successful at doing this, they were making a living off it, it took determination and diligence to succeed at their work. Probably no different than whatever career that you're working in right now in your life. If you're going to succeed at it, if you're going to continue to do it, it just takes some determination, some diligence, and when the work hours come, you need to be there and you just need to be faithful. These men were workers. What I want you to notice this morning, though, is they were not called so they could stop working. I think sometimes that's the misconception of the apostles. God did not call them so they could go on a long vacation, a 3-year vacation, and stop working. Actually, I think they were just given new work. Because notice what the Bible tells us. It says Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. He looks out. He sees these two men, Simon and Peter, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. It's believed it was probably the smaller net. And Jesus called unto them as that they're out there in the shallow waters. He says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." You see, Jesus Christ basically gave them a career change right then and there. He said, "You follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men." Now think about this. They were not to stop working. They were just to work in a different manner, so to speak. They were called to a new work, and that was to reach out to those that were without Christ. And this morning, here's what I want to point out, and this is for all of us here. Jesus Christ chose to use men and women to spread the gospel. He didn't choose to use angels. He could have. But he has chosen to use us to spread the gospel to other people. And that's what he did here. He called these men. Now, of course, these were going to be apostles, and these were going to be the leaders of the church. But what we find as far as the practical lesson is that the responsibility of taking the gospel out lies with believers. It's our work to take the gospel out. And Jesus Christ called these men. Now, I think that they were to be just as hard workers in God's work as they were as fishermen. That's just my thought. You know, one of the examples we have in the scriptures of this is the Apostle Paul. The Bible tells us that before he was saved, he was determined to destroy the church. He himself said he wreaked havoc on the church. I mean, he was relentless in his pursuit of destroying believers. Well, the day he was saved, you know what happened? Everything switched. And when you read the book of Acts, the Bible tells us, or we find, he was just as relentless in serving God after he was saved as he was fighting against God before he was saved. You see, this morning we need to understand that the work of the Lord is important. It is important, and we should take it seriously. You know, sometimes believers are dedicated at work. I mean, they're excellent workers, but when it comes to serving God, there's no dedication. And I'm not talking just about witnessing. I'm talking about Bible study, prayer, just personal growth concerning the Lord. There's a great dedication at work, but then that's missing when it comes to the spiritual side. I challenge you this morning to make sure that you are diligent in your spiritual life as you seek to live after the Lord. You know, these men were willing to sacrifice time and energy when they were fishing. And I think it's clear when they began to serve the Lord, they were willing to make those same sacrifices. They took that same attitude in to reaching the lost. This morning, the work remains the same. There are still lost people in this world. There are still people that have not heard of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. You know, there are a multitude of people born every day. Some of them will be born in countries where they'll hear the gospel. Some will be born in areas where they'll have no gospel influence. You see, the work is still here today. And the work is hard. Even here in America, it takes effort to be a witness. You know, as a pastor, I'd be lying to you if I told it was easy. It's not easy to be a witness and a testimony. It takes effort. You know, you got to take time to talk to someone about Jesus Christ. You got to be looking to talk to someone about Jesus Christ or be paying attention to the situation around you. So it does take effort to be a witness. Also, it takes time to be a witness. You see, it's not something we do once or twice and then say, I'm finished. You see, God didn't give us a quota in there. He didn't say, you witness to 100 people and you're done. Or you witness for 1 year and guess what? You've accomplished your goal. What we find in the scriptures is that's our life. We're to be a witness and a testimony. And we're basically to look to spread the gospel until the day God calls us home to Him. So it's a lifetime work is what it is. But the work is worth it when you think about what it is. You see, these men, they were fishers of fish. And Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You see, He was calling them into a new call, and that was to reach the lost with the gospel. Now this morning, God may not call you as far as being a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist. He may not call you into full-time work. But I do believe that each one of us is to be a fisher of men, so to speak. We're to take the gospel out. And when opportunity presents itself, we're to witness so people can know about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Now secondly, here's my second consideration here. They were called while working, but they were also called not only while they were working together, but they were called later to work together later as a group. You see, fishing required teamwork. It took several men, from my understanding, several men to take the ship to sea, to cast the nets, to pull those nets in, to return to shore, to unload the fish, some cases clean the fish. A lot of them would just drop off the fish for others to do that work, and then they would go out and they, as John and James here, they would mend their nets or they'd go work on their ship. There was a lot of work involved. It wasn't a one-man crew, these ships that we're talking about. There were several men that were involved, and there was a lot of teamwork required. You see, these men not only worked together, but they had to rely upon each other. You know, in this passage, we have two sets of brothers. There are four of them called. We have Peter and Andrew, James and John. You know, these men would later work together as they would serve God. And their new work would also require teamwork. You think of these men, all of them. They were called to serve God at the exact same time, or right in that time frame. At the same time, they served God. Now, I believe they were saved. I'm not going to get into the passages before this, but at this point, they're saved. They've trusted Christ. They went back. They're just living life, and God says, I want you to be fishers of men. And so they followed. You see, they would work for the same master. They would work for the same results, and that was souls. Also, they would work with each other, not in opposition nor competition. You know, sometimes that's what can happen with churches. We get to the point where we think we're just fighting against each other. We fight against each other more than we go out and reach the lost. You see, they were not to fight against each other. It was not a competition who could win the most. It was not an opposition where they had to win this many and try to keep the others from winning. They were to work together to reach the lost. You see, as churches, we're to do the same. Take the gospel out to the lost. Pray for other churches that are doing the same thing. Encourage them. And assist them if we can help them, but do what we can to reach lost. Work together as a team. Now, as far as within the church, once again, we're to work together for the same cause. Whether it's teaching the Bible classes, teaching an adult class, preaching, singing, being a personal witness, going out on visitation with the church, whatever it is, we're to work together to reach the lost. You know, sportscasters, you watch a sporting event, like the World Series on right now, or some of you may watch football games this afternoon. You know, you'll often hear sportscasters talk about teamwork and the importance of teamwork. Now, I think in our country today, for whatever reason, we like to lift up individuals. You know, quarterbacks get all the praise. Some of you may like the quarterbacks, I don't know. But I tell you what, if he didn't have an offensive line and he didn't have receivers, He could be as good as he wants to be. He could be the best. He's not going to get the job done. If he didn't have a defense on the other side to get him the ball back, he's not going to get that job done. You see, it's a team effort. You think of baseball. You can have the best pitcher in the world, but there's no catcher, or there's no fielders to field the ball when it's hit, the work's not going to get done. Teamwork is required. You know, serving the Lord, teamwork is required. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. Or if you're taking notes, you can write this down. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And Paul speaks a little bit of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says here, and we're going to begin reading in verse 4. He says, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" He says, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God gaveth the increase." You know, this morning, basically what we find there is Paul's referring to teamwork. The church there at Corinth evidently was having a problem. Some were saying, Apollos is the one who led me to Christ, or Paul is the one. And there was some bickering going on or some arguing. And Paul basically says, "Hey, wait, slow down. We're all in this work together." And he says, and guess what? Some water, some plant, some see the increase, but God's the one who gives the blessing. God gives the increase. You see, as we do God's work, as we're faithful in God's work, God may call upon us to do different things. What I mean by that is there are going to be times when you witness. There are going to be times you're going to share the gospel with somebody. And there are going to be times where you'll share it, and you know what? There's just going to be no response. Or they may say, "I'm not interested." And you know what? As believers, we're not to force anything upon anybody. That's between them and God. We're just to share the gospel. And if they don't want it, then we pray for them and say, okay, you know, and continue on and look for opportunities to be a witness. There are going to be times that's going to happen. But let me tell you something. That seed has to be planted. That's what Paul is saying. That seed has to be planted. Somebody at some point has to tell lost people about Jesus so they can consider salvation. Now, I don't know about you, but I know from my own testimony, I was not saved the first time I heard the gospel of salvation. I wasn't. I heard it many times. I think I heard it preached. I heard it taught. I had people tell me about it. You see, it took several years before it took effect, before the Spirit really worked in my heart, and then I trusted in Christ for salvation. You know, I know it does happen, but there are very few instances where someone will hear it the very first time and then immediately trust in Christ for salvation. Often it's a process, and the work began to grow. You see, Paul is saying, guess what? It doesn't matter who told them the first time, or the second, or third, or fourth, or it doesn't matter who actually led them to Christ. What matters is that God gave the increase. We did God's work. We were faithful, and there was a soul saved. You know, this morning there are going to be times where God's going to say, or want you, or call upon you to be the one that plants the seed. As a church, there are going to be times where we're going to be the ones planting the seeds. We go out there and witness, invite people, and they may not come. But you know, there are also going to be times where God's going to allow you to see the blessing. You're going to reap the harvest. What I mean by that, you may come across someone someday where you're working, a family member, and you're going to begin talking about Jesus. And you may have someone say, "You know what, I want to know more about what you have to say." And you can be sure somewhere along the line, someone else planted that seed, and praise God, you get a chance to lead someone to Christ. You see, that's doing God's work, being faithful, looking for opportunities, and then trusting that God will work in their hearts. You see, they were to work together. We're to work together. Here's my third thought here. They were called to walk by faith. You know, let's go back to Matthew chapter 4, in verse 18, or verse 19. He saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Let me ask you a question this morning. What if someone, even Jesus Christ, even God, here's the question for you. That's all you had to go on, was that phrase right there. "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." What would you do? Would you leave your home? Would you leave your career? These men were to walk with God by faith. This was an act of faith. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, they didn't go out and just do what they wanted to do. They were following the direction of Jesus Christ. And this call, if you'll notice, was really without any details. They didn't know what they would do exactly. Now, they knew they'd be fishers of men, but they didn't know exactly what they would do. They didn't know exactly where they would go, where the Lord would lead them, not only during his ministry, but afterwards. They didn't know what they would hear. They didn't know what they would see, but they were to follow by faith, trusting in the Lord. You know, when we witness for the Lord, it's the same way. You know, you go out, you don't know who is going to accept Christ or not. You don't know who's going to be interested or not. And I'm going to tell you, I've been fooled several times. And I don't know if I'll just admit it. There have been times where I've taken the gospel, I've been a witness, and there have been times I thought, I don't think this person's going to be interested. And I was shocked. They were. There was something going on in their life. And they were interested. There was an interest there. And then there have been times where I thought, oh, this person's going to be interested. And there was no interest at all. Just no interest. You know, it's best not to come to conclusions. You know, it's best just to take the gospel out and let the Lord work. See, these men were to go by faith. And they were to follow God and to do the work. Now, to their credit, there was no hesitation. They left the boats that day. I mean, immediately they left the boats. We know Peter was married, and some of the others may have been. We know Peter was for sure. I often wonder what he told his wife. And get ready, we're going. Evidently, the Bible later, Paul talks about Peter and his family. They went with him, so they were faithful as well. So we find here that they were willing to leave their career, their job, that's their financial security. They were willing to leave their family, not their wife and children, but their other family, their parents. John and James here had to leave their dad. He was there working. I don't think he went with them. It indicates he remained while they left to go and follow after the Lord. So they were willing to leave family. They were also willing to leave their land where they were from. That's what missionaries do. They leave their land. Now, this morning, God may not call upon you to do those things. Not everyone God is going to call to leave those areas. I think as believers, we should be willing, though, if God would want us to. That's what it comes down to, our heart. You know, we should be willing to go where God wants us to go. And you know what? God may say, I want you to stay right where you are. I want you to raise your family right where you are. I want you to get a job right where you are. I want you to have your career right where you are. And I'm going to use you right where you are and bless you. That's often the case. But sometimes God may say, I want you to go over here. I want you to do this. And God may work in that manner. That's when we just need to trust in the Lord and to go by faith. You see, it really was an act of faith. But also, I guess you say, through their faith, you see their sincerity, their love for God, their desire to serve the Lord because they were willing to go. Many years ago, there was a young man who went to China as a missionary. And he had an income of $2,500 annually. Now, this was many years ago. Of course, it wasn't this anytime recently. $2,500 a year. Well, anyway, he had already graduated college. He had his degree, and he believed God wanted him to go into the ministry, so he went up there as a missionary. Well, a company wanted to hire him. He had a lot of skills. They wanted to hire him, and they offered him $5,000 to come back and take a job. Well, he refused. Well, they sent a letter to him. And in that letter, they said, well, we'll give you $7,000 a year. Now, he was making $2,500, and he said, refused again, said no. Well, they sent another letter, $10,000 a year, said no. They sent another letter. In this letter, they asked him, is salary the problem? And his response was, he says, no. He said, the salary is big enough, but the job isn't. You know, in his mind, this missionary had given his life to God. There's no amount of money that was going to make him change his mind. You see, that's dedication. That's having a sincerity after the Lord, doing what God wants you to do. And as I mentioned before, not everyone's called to be a missionary, but we should all be willing to sacrifice and be willing to do God's work, be willing to be a testimony like these men were. Now, their faith would grow. They're talking about faith. Their faith would grow as they followed Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 10. Their faith would grow because they would hear, they would listen to Jesus Christ as he taught. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. It says there, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, this morning, there are a lot of people that pray for faith, and they hope it will just show up out of nowhere. You know how we get strong faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, if you want strong faith, then read the Bible. Study the Bible. As you grow, not only in knowledge of God's Word, but as you begin to apply God's Word to your life, your faith will grow as well. See, that's where strong faith comes from. We grow as we not only learn about God, but when we learn more about God's ways and how we're to live unto God. See, faith will grow. So I challenge you to read the Bible, and your faith will grow. This morning, that's what they did. These men, they walked by faith, but you know, you read the Gospels. They heard Jesus, they listened to his teachings, and their faith grew. To the point where they continue to walk with the Lord. You know, I guess you could say this morning, it does take faith to do God's work. It takes faith to be a witness. Faith that he is able to save a soul. You know, if you don't believe Jesus can save someone's soul, you're not going to tell them about Jesus Christ. You just won't. But if you believe Jesus Christ can save souls, then you'll look to be a witness and share that with others so they could get things right. Here's my fourth thought this morning. They were called to work with results, or they were promised results. You see, these men were promised to be successful. You know, Matthew chapter 4, notice the promise given here. He says, follow me. He says, and ye shall be fishers of men. Matthew 4, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. You see, they were called to work, and they were promised to be successful. Now, they were not told what success was. What I mean by that, there was no number given. God didn't say, you follow me, and you'll win this many souls to Christ. He said, I will make you fishers of men. So there was not a quota given, or there was not a number for success. Also, they were not given all that was involved. They weren't told all the trials, or the difficulties, or the hardships. They would find out, and God would prepare them for that when it was needed. Basically, they were told that if you reap, you will sow. If you are faithful to me and you do this work, then you'll be blessed. You know, I think that still applies today with witnessing. You know, I can tell you this, I can tell you this without doubt. If you never tell someone about Jesus Christ, you probably will never win someone to Jesus Christ, or you'll never see them saved. If you don't tell them, it's just not going to happen. You see, we need to tell people about Jesus if we're going to see people come to Jesus Christ. You know, these people, these men were prepared to do God's work. What's interesting in the scriptures, every time the disciples, and we're not going to read them this morning, but every time the disciples pulled in a miraculous catch of fish, Jesus would tell them to, you know, put down your nets. Every time they pulled in that miraculous amount of fish, Jesus Christ did not assist in the physical work. Not because he could not do it, not because he would not, simply because I believe he was teaching them a lesson. They were to be fishers of men. And he was teaching them, you follow me, you obey my direction, you do the work, and I'll provide the increase. You see, that's what happened. He was preparing them to do God's work. They were to be diligent, and he would provide the blessing. He would provide the miraculous power so they could become fishers of men. You see, they were prepared to do the work that God had for him. And this morning, I think we need to be fishers of men. We need to look for opportunities to tell people about Jesus. Now, you know, I understand in our world today things have changed. What I mean by that is I understand, you know, there are restrictions at where you may work or where you, you know, may live at times. But that doesn't mean that you can't be a witness first with your life, but also opportunities. You know, you can look for an opportunity to talk to someone about Jesus, and maybe it'll take place outside of work, you know. It'll take place, you know, at your grocery store or something else. Look for opportunities to tell people about Jesus. If we don't look for them, then we'll just never find them. I'm going to give you an illustration on this. In St. Louis, years ago, and this is a true story from my understanding, years ago, there was a Christian businessman and a lawyer, and they developed a good business relationship. They did a lot of business together, and for several years they worked. Well, after a meeting one day, this Christian businessman, as he was preparing to leave the office of this lawyer, who he'd become friends with, as he was preparing to leave, he's walking towards the door, he stopped and he turned around at this lawyer who was, you know, finishing up his paperwork, and he says to him, I have often wanted to ask you a question, but I have been a coward. Well, this surprised this lawyer. And the lawyer said this, he goes, I didn't think you were afraid of anything. He says, what's your question? And this Christian businessman looked at him and says, are you a Christian? And that was it. Are you a Christian? Well, the lawyer hung his head. He put it down there as he's sitting at his desk. And he says, isn't there something in the Bible that says no drunkard shall have any part of the kingdom of God? And with his head hanging, he says, you know my weakness. Well, this Christian businessman looked at this lawyer. He says, you didn't answer my question. Why are you not a Christian? Well, a minute went past, and that lawyer said, I don't recall anybody ever asking me that question. And I know nobody has ever told me how to become one. Well, that Christian businessman opened up his Bible. For the next few minutes, they sat there at the desk of that lawyer. He showed him in the scriptures what salvation was, what Jesus Christ had done for him, how he could repent, believe on Jesus Christ, and be saved. And that lawyer trusted in Jesus Christ that day. Later, he would say that God broke the power that sin had over him instantly. Now, this lawyer was a man by the name of C.L. Schofield. He's the editor. You have a Scofield Reference Bible. He was later the editor of that Bible. God used him in a great way. You see, this businessman just simply asked him if he was a Christian. You see, just look for opportunities. We're to be witnesses. Take the gospel out. And by the way, we don't know how God is going to work. We just need to remain faithful. You know, in closing this morning, the plan is simple. It really is. Jesus Christ basically called these men to follow him. He said, I will make you fishers of men. They weren't to make themselves fishers of men. They weren't to better themselves. Now, of course, they were to follow him, learn from him. But you see, the work or the power to do the work would be provided by Jesus Christ. And this morning, I think it's the same. You see, if we want to be witnesses and we want to have power to see souls saved, it's just a matter of being obedient to God, walking with him, being willing to speak, and then having faith that God will work in hearts and trusting in him and not giving up to discouragement, but remaining faithful. Really, all that is required for someone to be a fisher of men is for them to have a willing heart to do God's work. That's all that's required. You know, this morning, I think each one of us could do that if we choose to. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings. I thank you, Lord, for my salvation, and I thank you for those that are here this morning and those that are saved. And I pray this will be a reminder to us of the importance not only of salvation, but of taking the gospel out to the lost. I pray you bless this invitation, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a time of invitation. If you please bow your heads and close your eyes just for a few minutes as the piano begins to play. This is just a time of prayer if you need to seek God out. Also, if you have any questions concerning salvation, you know, this illustration that I just shared with you concerning C.L. Scofield, perhaps there's one here at church here this morning. Maybe there's one here this morning who you've been good, you've tried to do what was right, but you've never repented of your sin and trusted in Christ as your Savior. You're not saved. You've just never had a personal relationship with the Lord. Maybe nobody's ever explained it to you. Maybe nobody's ever asked you. You're at church and you just never really thought of it much. If that's the case, you can come down this morning. If you have any questions, we can show you from God's Word what salvation is. Or if you know what you need to do, maybe you already know what you need to do. You just need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. If that's the case, I encourage you to get that settled.